To be named later, the official podcast of outfieldflyrule.com. I'm Brent Blackwell, here today with Chris Jervis.
Hello, hello, hello.
And the Braves won a couple of games this week.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we did. Okay. Braves won a couple of games last week. Anything we want to talk about last week? I thought Aaron Blair had an okay second start.
I did too. Blair, you mentioned it on the last podcast. I thought there was a chance he could have broken spring training with the team. Seemed to me to be the most major league ready of the pitchers that we had received. And he's kind of showing it now. It's reaching a point where, okay, he's done it at AA, he's done it at AAA, let's give him a shot up here. He may struggle, but I'd rather the young guys struggle getting experience if it's helping them rather than giving Bud Norris another start.
Yeah, he's had two decent starts. He's not really missing bats. That's the one thing I would like to see more of, but
sadly that was never part of his game, though, is the missing of the bats. It's more of a weak contact, if I remember. But we can
I think he definitely had more than 3 per 9.
Oh yeah, he did have the
minors. Yeah, you're right. It was at the lower levels he was a big strikeout.
As he progressed, it's not like he couldn't strike guys out. I mean, he was at 6.5, you know, roughly strikeouts per 9. That's not awful. It's not a strikeout pitcher, but it's not awful. At the lower minors, he was at, you know, 8, 9, 10, which is better. But
he was over 10 in Gwinnett this year.
Yeah.
It's also just 2 starts, so it's not like it's time to, you know, be concerned. It's just something that it's basically the only blemish so far on what has been a pretty good start for him.
3.18 ERA. His peripherals look good, too. 3.69 FIP. So he's not... You know, it's not smoke and mirrors like some other pitchers we have seen recently.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's only 2 starts, so it's definitely a small sample size and hard to tell anything. But it gets back to what does he look like, and he looks good out there pitching the ball.
Also, Julio Teheran had his best start in a long time against the Cubs.
Yeah, Teheran has had a rough go of it the last, I don't know, year or so. Last year was completely not good for him, but he did well in the second half of the season, and he had some good starts earlier this year. He's just been Jekyll and Hyde, and you know, the home runs, he's always given up a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
But in the past, it's not hurting because he doesn't give up a lot of base runners. He gives up a lot of home runs because he gives up a lot of fly balls. He's a fly ball pitcher, and I think maybe not having some of that premier defense in the outfield could be coming home to roost.
You mean Jeff Francoeur in left is not premier defense?
You know, it's
actually
not...
it's probably better than we thought we were going to start the season with when we thought it was Oliveira.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, Hayward's not out there chasing stuff down, but Hayward wasn't out there last year either. So I can't really say it was that specifically. Teheran's just missing his spots. One of the things I've noticed too is he seems to be nibbling more. He's not challenging like he used to. When he gets in there and he decides he wants to throw that slider and get you out, he's going to get you out, and he's not doing that anymore. I think he may have lost confidence either in his stuff. I also don't think he's particularly meshing well with A.J. Pierzynski. The two have been there the last 2 years, and it seems that they're often on a different page. I've not seen or heard anything specifically that they don't like working with one another, but they don't seem to mesh well when they're out there.
Teheran, you know, yeah, the home runs are the thing with Teheran, and that he's a good pitcher with the home runs. The home runs are what keeps him from being a great pitcher.
Right. You know, and he's – people get caught up in ace and number one and labels like that. Teheran's a very good pitcher. Teheran's not a – he's not a guy you would classify probably as a number one or an ace. So many people have different ideas as to what that is, and I don't think it can actually even be defined. I mean – You know that Clayton Kershaw is a number one pitcher. You know, he's going to be your first guy going out there. The label that gets applied to Teheran often is misplay. Oh, he's not our number one. Oh, he's not our ace. Well, you know, that's kind of overstated. He's a very good pitcher. He's been a good pitcher for several years now, and he's been better than most of the pitchers we've had running out there. So he's our ace. He may not be an ace, but he's our ace.
Yeah, I feel like we have to waste too much time talking about stupid labels.
Yeah, it's
because they're so prevalent among the fan base. You know, we may just make podcast rules going forward. It's like no ace talk, just for the sake of making everyone smarter. It doesn't matter if someone. I mean, everybody has a different definition of an ace.
Right.
There's one ace in baseball, and it's Clayton Kershaw. For others, there are 10. For some, there's 30.
Well, and that's the point. 50. If he's not a number one pitcher. Well, he's a number one pitcher, and there's 30 teams. He's the number one for that team, so you can say, at least by extrapolation, there's 30 number ones.
It doesn't.
And
mean
Zach Greinke is not even the number one pitcher on his team. But does that mean he's not an ace or not a number one? You know, it's stupid to go by a label rather than the results.
Yeah, just talk about what Tehran is rather than what he's not.
And he's a solid major league pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah, but the other win that we had was not really...
The one yesterday was nice. We took the presumptive World Series favorites to extra innings and won it. And that was after blowing a lead early.
We took them to extras after we gave up our lead in the ninth.
I'm spinning this the way I want to, buddy.
Yeah. Chacin looked good against Boston the other night. He's still looking really good.
And I have seen some speculation from, I want to say it was Mark Bowen on Twitter, that Chacin and Norris may be moved in lieu of making room for Fulton Nawitz and possibly Jenkins or Sims later on. That doesn't seem to, I mean, Chacin's been pitching well. He's not been bad. And I'd like to at least pitch him enough that he can build some value that we can get something for him, because God knows we could get a left-handed pitcher, left-handed reliever for him that's major league ready. I'd be happy.
Yeah, I can't imagine that we would send him down.
I mean, he's got one WAR already on the season, 3.27 ERA, 1.52 FIP. I mean, everything about him is good. Striking out 9.5 a game. He's not walking anybody. That's the big thing, and I think that's going to come back. That's what's set for regression. His career is 3.67 walks per nine. He's at 1.6 right now. I think that's going to regress, but until it does, let's take it and run with it.
Yeah. I do think, though, if this continues, we'll be looking to trade Chacin.
Yeah, I don't think he...
In about a month or so.
Yeah. He doesn't come past the All-Star break, I don't think. Maybe going into that final couple of weeks into the trade deadline.
Right. But if he's got it back together, he'll be a hot commodity.
Yeah, a team looking for a major league pitcher, not injured. This is what happened last year. We traded Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe for John Gant and Rob Whalen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't expect a whole lot back for them. And both of those guys have come back and done well for us. You know, Gant was sent down earlier today. We'll get into that in a minute. But Gant's pitched well for the Braves organization since he's been here. So, you know, maybe you find another diamond in the rough by trading Chacin.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of transactions, let's start with I like doing this every week because we seem to make six transactions a week.
Well, we're in the middle of a run, too, of a lot of games in a short period of time, so we're rotating out fresh arms.
So since the last time we did this, first thing we did was we outrighted Danny Barawa off the 40-man roster. And in case you're wondering why, Triple-A so far, Barawa had struck out 5 batters and walked 11 in 7 innings. So it was, I guess there's no real point in having him on the 40-man roster when there's no danger of him getting called up.
Or taken.
Or claimed. The next day, the Braves sent Ryan Weber to Triple-A.
That was that move was, I believe, pretty much just to get a fresh arm. Because Gant was called up, if I recall. Mm-hmm. And Gant pitched 3 innings that night.
Yeah.
This, we're in a run of, I think it was 28 games in 29 days. With the way Freddie replaces pitchers and the way our pitchers are, with the number of pitches they throw and the number of people they walk and how early they leave games, we're burning through relievers. And that move, I think, was primarily just to get a different, fresh arm in the bullpen. I don't think it was a knock against Weber. I think it was just getting a new arm up.
Now, Weber wasn't having great results, but I thought he was not nearly as bad as his ERA suggested. He had given up 15 hits. His BABIP was out of control. His 460 or something stupid like that. He gave up a couple home runs, but he was striking out He struck out 8 batters, 7 2/3, and he only walked one. Which
what
this
was the date of his transaction?
The 27th, I believe.
And he had pitched 4 innings in the 2 days previous. Yeah. I mean, this was just a move to get a fresh arm.
So we called up John Gant, and he pitched. I know he pitched. He got us through one of those games in Boston where it was just get out there.
That was the Bud Norris game, I think, where Norris lasted an inning and a third maybe. And then Gant came in and pitched 3 innings and got us out of that. That was, he actually pitched 4.2 innings. Did pretty well. Gave up 2 runs, but hell, he was effectively the starter for us.
How many strikeouts did he get in that game? Because he's got
4 strikeouts, 3 walks. 3 walks in 4 innings is not what you like to see, which is probably what led to the runs. But the biggest thing was he was able to give us 4 innings on a day that our starter couldn't give us 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big move. And that's something that on the stat sheet, it may not look impressive, but that's something that teams remember.
Yeah, Gant's another guy who's he's better than his ERA, which is over 7. All right, then May 1st, things got a little confusing.
Is this the wonky one?
So the Braves, this part's easy. The Braves optioned Chris Withrow to AAA Gwinnett.
Going into this move, just for the fans who didn't know, the Braves were carrying an extra reliever in the bullpen because of all the games that we had going on. 28 games in 29 days, I think is what it was. We were carrying an extra pitcher. We decided we were going to send a pitcher down and bring up somebody because we had also had a problem in Boston with matchups. We ended up having to pinch hit a bad left-handed hitter against a good left-handed pitcher because all we had was lefties on the bench. So the thought was, let's bring up a righty or at least a switch hitter that would give us an option later in the game.
Withrow was sent down, and fans may wonder why, with a 3.86 ERA, but he is kind of the opposite of what I was saying about the last two guys, which is Chris Withrow has not been as good as his ERA suggests. He's given, in 7 innings, he's given up 5 hits, and he's walked 5 as well. And he's given up a home run. It just hasn't come together yet for him.
He'll be backed up, though, I believe.
Yeah. Get it worked. Get the kinks worked out in AAA. I think that's fine. So the Braves, in doing what you were saying they were wanting to do, were attempting to call up Emilio Bonifacio. And then Major League Baseball said, no, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Because of a rule that the front office was apparently not aware of.
What happened was the Braves tried to send down Withrow and call up Bonifacio so that they could have a switch hitter who would function as the right-handed bench bat. The problem was that Bonifacio had been brought in on a major league contract and then released and then re-signed to a minor league deal. And under roster rules, if a player was signed to the major league team and then released, that team cannot bring him back for 30 days. They can sign him to the minor league deal, but they can't bring him back to the major league roster for 30 days. That 30-day period had not yet expired. Did the Braves know about the rule? We had similar situation last year, and we had no problem waiting the 30 days to call people up.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is – a lot of people are making a big deal. Oh, my God, the team should have known this. The team overlooked this. We have incompetent front office. First off, this should not have happened. There is no reason that this should have happened. There are people that get paid a lot of money to do nothing but manage rosters.
True.
So it shouldn't have happened. That being said, it's happened to the Braves. It's happened to other teams. It's happened in worse scenarios, and it's happened with worse players.
Yeah.
Frankly, my biggest concern is the fact that we thought about calling up Emilio Bonifacio to help the team. That's more concerning to me than the fact that they made a roster error. I don't see this as any kind of indictment that the team doesn't know the rules because they've made similar moves in the past with no problem. And when you're having a bad season like the Braves are having, it's going to get magnified.
Yeah, it's just bigger because it's this team. If it was the White Sox, nobody would have. People, these mistakes do happen. The Braves aren't the first, and they won't be the last to do it. But in the Braves' defense a little bit, Bonifacio has been on a little hot streak at AAA. He's batting...
Stop. Just stop.
He's got 10 steals. So far this year, he's only batted 74 times. That's not.
He's pinch run 16 times. I don't know how many times.
We've got.
I'm not a fan of Bonifacio, but I do understand that we need a right-handed bat on the bench too.
We're a major league team that is starting Daniel Castro and Jeff Francoeur every day. So I feel like Emilio Bonifacio can have a place on this team.
I challenge your characterization of this as a major league team.
That's true. Yeah. when we weren't able to call up Bonifacio, we have instead called up outfielder Matt Tuiasosopo, which I just like saying that. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. But
not to be confused with Marquise Tuiasosopo.
Yeah, or all the other quarterbacks.
Tuiasosopos. We covered Matt Tuiasosopo earlier this year when we were covering the Braves organization and at each level. He's a guy who has had a couple of cups of coffee with various teams. If I remember from our profile of him earlier this year, he can have a little bit of pop, which, you know, for this team means hitting it past the infield dirt. But actually, I think he's actually shown a little bit of power in the past in limited roles.
Last year, he had 18 home runs in AAA. He doesn't get hits. His isolated power is over 200 for each of the last 3 years in the minor, including
so
this
he's
year,
got power. He's definitely got,
including Gwinnett so far this year. He's batting 218 with a 425 slugging. He's got 19 hits and over 100 at bats. So
right-handed batter.
Yes, he's right-handed power. So
he's going to sit on the bench until Bonifacio's ready, is my guess.
Oddly, he's like Jeff Rancourt.
And he plays only outfield and first base, so he's not really... I don't see him being here for the long term. I think he's just here to fill a roster spot until they can call it Bonifacio.
Mm-hmm. The Braves have also optioned John Gant to AAA and brought up so many names.
Mike Foltynewicz.
Thank you, Mike Foltynewicz.
This was a move, again, just to create a spot. Foltynewicz, I think, has taken over the Bud Norris starting spots now. He's starting today's game, tonight's game. I think this might be the first in a series of moves where you start seeing the Braves give the youngsters a shot.
Do we start... So does Norris go to the bullpen now?
Or I think we're burning up phone lines right now to see if anybody will give us anything, and since that's not going to happen...
Nobody's going to give us anything for him.
I can see a DFA coming. I mean, he could go to the bullpen because, I mean, he's a guy who could go three or four innings out of the bullpen. As we saw the other day, even Bud Norris pitching one inning is a bad thing. So...
Yeah.
Although he had success. I think it was it last year in the bullpen that he had a little bit of success with Baltimore?
He was good. So we should give him a shot in the bullpen. I mean,
right. That can get us from the fifth inning to the sixth or seventh.
We definitely should give him a shot in the bullpen because his value can't be any lower than it is right now. And it's not like we have a great bullpen. It's not like he's taking up the spot of, you know...
Yeah, he's not blocking something. Anybody.
He's not blocking anybody. So...
If we can build some value for him.
Oh, yeah. We should definitely give him a shot as a late inning. Because he was really good in that role.
Oh, let's not get carried away with late inning. Well, maybe if we've already blown the lead, we need to get somebody.
Late inning for the Braves. So, you know, when you're down 4-2.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I could just as easily see Norris being DFA'd as going into the bullpen. I think with the commitment that they've made to him, they would like to see him try and work it out because they won't get much for him if they can rebuild some value. But anything, you may hit a lottery ticket, you know.
Yeah, with San Diego last year, he was exclusively a reliever. He had 16 and two-thirds innings. He struck out 21 batters and had a 2.68 FIP. So he was pretty good in relief last year. That would be something I'd be interested in. Apparently, he was also hitting like 98, 99 in relief for the Padres last year. You know, short bursts. Some guys are much, much better as relievers. Most guys are. That's something I'd be interested in doing at this point instead of just bailing on him because there's nothing really we really gain from bailing on him.
Right. We still have to pay him. About the only thing we gain is the roster spot.
Which we clearly don't have a lot of use for because we're trying to bring up Emilio Bonifacio.
Right.
Roster spots have not gotten to the point where they're too valuable for the Braves.
Foltynewicz is coming up. He's going to start this evening. Probably the first in the run of seeing some of the kids coming up and getting shots at some things. This is probably going to be Folty's last chance to show whether he belongs in a rotation, I think. Control. That's his problem. He was walking 5/9 in Gwinnett when he was called up. He was striking out a lot of guys. He had a good ERA. But in the minor leagues, if you're walking 5/9... that does not bode well for your major league success. And he's really got to be able to control that and get those other pitches over or use those other pitches effectively if he's going to be a starter.
Walks weren't an issue for him in Atlanta last year. Home runs were, though.
Right.
And hits also. He gave up a lot of hits last year. He had walked 3.0/9. last year.
Which is fine. I mean, walks have definitely been a
they've been an issue for him in the minors. Last year he even walked 4.1 in the minors per nine, and he cut it down. He also wasn't getting ground balls in the majors, which
I mean, he's always I think he's got electric stuff.
I think he maybe was catching too much of the zone last year.
He's got electric stuff. There's no question about that. He's got a big fastball. He doesn't have a lot to complement that, though, and I think that is probably going to ultimately lead to him going into the bullpen somewhere, which is not a bad thing. A guy that can throw as well as he can, as fast as he can, as hard as he can, could easily be a good back-of-the-rotation guy where he doesn't have to worry about it. I think where Fulton-Davis gets in trouble with the walks is trying to do too much with his secondary pitches that he's not very good at, and he can still focus on his 1-2 pitch as a reliever versus trying to switch over to 3-4 and make them effective. We'll see how it goes, though. The Braves are going to give him a shot to be a starter, and he's getting his shot tonight, and we'll see how it goes.
There's definitely a reason to tune in tonight and get a look at Fulty and see how he looks. Yeah, that's all the transactions. So next topic is apparently there's been some news reports. I feel like this is going to be an ongoing thing throughout the season. And some news reports that Freddy Gonzalez may be fired at the end of the current
Freddy Watch 2016.
The end of the current road trip.
I think it was Ken Rosenthal had a piece last week, and then also Mark Bradley of the AJC. Each of them had a piece talking about how teams like to replace their managers going into a homestand, usually do it on the off day before the homestand starts, that neither one of them thought that Freddy Gonzalez was going to last the current road trip. There's probably a good likelihood that Freddy Gonzalez gets fired this year. I think it's better than 50% right now.
Yeah.
I also think, though, that the Braves realize, and they have said this publicly, that they dealt him a bad hand. They expected the team to be bad, but maybe not this bad. Matter of fact, there's an article on TomahawkTake.com today by Josh Brown talking about this, that he has gotten some information from a source that says the Braves are going to stick with Freddy Gonzalez this year. Are they going to stick with him all year? Don't know. I could see that happening just as easily as replacing him. I think it all boils down to how is the team progressing? I don't think it's going to be win-loss records, but it's going to be how is the team progressing. And they looked really bad that first 10 days, 2 weeks of the season. They've looked a little bit better since then, but Freddie's got to stop doing Freddie stuff if he wants to stay employed.
So out of curiosity, I want to see how, like, the last 2 weeks, what has changed about Freddie. And 2 weeks ago, the Braves were 3-9 and had a playoff odds, well, we had a 0% chance of winning the division and a 0.1% chance of making the playoffs.
What do they know?
As a wild card. This is according to FanGraphs. Today, let's see if it's worse now. It's zero across the board. So we've dropped 0.1%. So I guess my question is, if we didn't want to fire him 2 weeks ago,
what's changed?
Well, what's really changed? I mean, sure, I guess you could say he hasn't gotten us on some crazy run where we put ourselves back into contention. But
no manager's going to do that with this roster.
No. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Freddy Gonzalez is not a very good major league manager. He has a 50% winning percentage with the Braves, 50% for his career, but he's probably a below average manager in strategic decisions. One of the things he does well, he manages his people well, he manages his clubhouse well, never had clubhouse issues. His players like him, players support him. Those are the things you look for in a manager. But if you were to change managers right now, what's going to change with the team? If we were to fire Freddie today, and we were to bring in whoever, Terry Pendleton, Eddie Perez, Bud Black, whoever.
If we did,
what's going to change at that point?
If we did change managers, I think the only question in the process that I would ask candidates would be, who do you think the starting catcher should be? Because that's pretty much all. That's the biggest thing that Freddie is not getting right.
And when Ender Inciarte returns, where are you playing him?
Because the answer should be center field.
Right. There should be no, well, Ender in right or Ender in left and Malik's in. No. You play the best center fielder in baseball in center field.
Yeah, and then you put everybody else. Then you get Malik Smith as a great left fielder.
Right. In which case, then you can have guys, and with the amount of ground that Inciarte and Smith can cover, you can shade players left or right. Mm-hmm. You can bring Nick Markakis up into a short field and play almost a fifth infielder. Joe Madden's done that in the past with guys. Yeah, what's going to change if you change managers? I think really at this point, the only thing that changes if you change managers is there's just, okay, we did it. Now what?
Yeah, I'm trying to make a case for... I obviously don't think we should fire Freddie because I don't think there's a lot of upside to it, but I'll try to make the case for it. And I guess it could be a shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic sort of for fans, fans' benefit.
You did something.
Right. So fans could say, okay, we're trying something.
Right.
Because I think there is some malaise around the team with some fans. Fans think the team isn't interested in winning. So firing Freddie, even though it may not have any real benefit, would at least give off the impression.
I can see where the Fire Freddy crowd, you get the, well, at least we're doing something, but I don't think anything's going to change. But several national periodical writers, several national authors have suggested that he may be gone by the end of this homestand, or this road trip. So.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Who do you replace him with? Freddie gets fired on Thursday.
Bo Porter.
I agree. I mean, everybody... Yeah. Terry Pendleton has paid his dues.
Yeah.
Eddie Perez has paid his dues. Both of them are worth a look. But Bo Porter was brought in for a reason, I believe. Bo Porter has experience managing a rotation. Perez, and he's got experience managing a clubhouse.
He's also got experience managing a team built to lose.
Right. And a rebuilding team. Right.
What he did for Houston a few years ago, so...
I think that's who you go with if in the situation that you're in. But the Braves could also use that as a way to showcase or see what either Perez or Pendleton have if that's the way they wanted to go. Whatever decision we make, I hope we get away from Bobby Cox's choices.
Yeah, and Bobby Cox's comparisons. All right, well, it's the start of May, so I thought we could take a look at some of our top prospects and see how they're doing. We're not going to be going in any like order of prospects here. Just I'm going to pick out a few and look them up and see how they're faring so far. What is this? Okay.
We obviously know how Malik Smith is doing. He's been called up to the big league club because of injury. He's actually gotten hot lately. Has what, 6 hits in his last 8 at bats. Had a rough run of it before then. He's actually cut down his strikeouts and his swinging at pitches outside the zone over the last few games. Looks like things might be starting to click for him, but he still, I think, needs to be more patient at the plate.
He needs to draw more walks. He needs to be more patient on the base paths.
Yeah, he's costing us runs. I never thought I would say Malik Smith is costing us runs with his base running, but he is.
Yes, he's been bad. It's 3-for-7 steals. It's not good. At AAA, Rio Ruiz, who had a disappointing first year in the system last year at AA, got called up to AAA to start this season. A lot of people thought that was a little too aggressive, but he has really, I don't know, proved his value in AAA so far. He's batting .333 with a .414 on base and a slugging average over .500. So good on Rio Ruiz for reasserting himself as a legitimate third base prospect.
Yep, I think Ruiz probably makes it up in the second half of this season if he keeps going. There was reason to be concerned about the numbers at Gwinnett. He had a high batting average on balls in play, which is kind of concerning. But at the same time, I mean, we're still looking at a .458 BABIP right now. But one reason for that is he has significantly increased his line drives. He's not hitting as many home runs, but he's killing the doubles right now. He's significantly increased his line drive rate. I think last year his line drive rate was right around 16%. It's over 35% right now. That's one way to kill that BABIP really quick. The other concern about him, strikeout rate has actually gone up and the walk rate has gone down. So the plate discipline, it looks like, though, he's being more aggressive at the plate, which is leading to the higher and better numbers.
Yeah. Ozzie Albies, this got some press last week. Ozzie Albies got called up to AAA from Mississippi, where he was killing it at Mississippi. Although the steals were not that were off compared to previous years. Like last year at Rome, he stole 29 bases. He only had 2
Mississippi, and that's despite being on base 44% of the time.
Right.
Batted 369. I'm sure his BABIP was high as well. It was 429. But yeah. Then again, a speed guy is going to have a high BABIP
right.
a lot of times. He was having a really good year.
Albies is another one. Last year, you were talking about the stolen bases. Last year, 29 stolen bases in 37 attempts. This year, 2 stolen bases in 5 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible they have them working on different things. We don't know without actually talking to the coaches to see if they have them working on different looks or identifying different things or getting different reads or different jumps. But that's something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
He's 0 for 8 since being called up to AAA, but
it's 2 games.
I think he'll work himself into a decent situation there.
Also in AAA, pitcher to keep an eye on, Tyrell Jenkins, last year's organizational pitcher of the year, is through 5 starts. He's got a 1.67 ERA. It's pretty good. But again, like last year, he's striking out a few more than he did last year, but the walks are still a little high, and the strikeouts aren't quite high enough to justify it. I'm not yet ready to get real excited about his major league future, unless it's as maybe a reliever. But pretty good results so far.
I see him probably hitting back end of the rotation or some type of reliever role. I don't think he carries enough strikeouts to justify the starter role with the number of walks that he allows. But we'll see.
Lucas Sims also just got called up to AAA from AA Mississippi. He's had 2 starts and went out so far, though. He struck out 12 batters per 9 in AAA, which is down from the 16 per 9 he was right. striking out at AA. It's starting to look like his winter ball adjustments may be real. I mean, the walks are still high. He's still got to cut down on the walks, but
which is odd because his winter ball walk rate was the best of his career, basically.
Yeah, he's back. He's definitely back on the prospect path now. And it's so weird. I feel like we've been talking about Sims for years, but he's only he's 21. He's about to be 22, but he's still very young. There's still time for him to put it together and be a, you know, here we go back to the labels. But for prospects, the labels are sort of necessary. But he was projected as a number 2 starter.
Right.
You know, number 3. So that's a pretty encouraging start for him. So the Braves have always been an aggressive organization about promoting players through the minor league system. So he's in AAA now. Anybody else? Let's see. I think we'll go down to AA now. Dansby Swanson just got called up to AA Mississippi.
And he did so with a bang. Yeah. Literally. Homered in his, first major league, or his first AA appearance?
Yes, his first game.
Dansby Swanson hitting .429 in AA. Of course, it's only 2 games, so we'll drop down to high A. .333 with a .441 on base percentage. Had a .391 BABIP. That's slightly high, but that's driven by an insane line drive rate. Good plate discipline, 16% walk rate, 14% K rate.
Yeah, more walks than the strikeouts and 7 for 8 in steals. That's pretty good. Another guy having a pretty good start to his year is Dustin Peterson, another player picked up in a trade last offseason.
Is that the Justin Upton trade?
Yes. He was one of the guys who came over in the Upton trade. He's playing left field now. And after a disappointing year last year, it's finally, it's only a month, but at AA, the fact that it's at AA and not lower levels of the minors is encouraging. But 270, 337 on base, and a .438 slugging. 3 homers so far in 100 plate appearances. It's what you want to see from a guy like him.
Right.
So that's an encouraging start to his season. AA is where a few of our good pitching prospects are. So Sean Newcomb, one of the biggest names in the system, is at AA. Let's have a look and see how he's done this year.
Newcomb, of course, came over in the Andrelton Simmons trade from the Angels.
He's doing what he previously did, which was walk batters and strikeout batters.
Right.
Strikeouts are down a little bit this year, but we may be working with him on
developing other pitches as well.
Mm-hmm. They're not down a lot. I mean, he's still striking out a healthy amount.
But yeah, I mean, he's almost at 9/9. So, I mean, it's not like they're completely fell off the planet. His walks are still high, and that's really going to determine where he ends up in Major League Baseball. Yeah. You know, everything else about him looks good. You know, his ERA, 2.84, the peripherals look good for him. It's just, can you control those walks? He's actually controlling base runners fairly well. 17 hits in 25 innings, but it's the walks. The walks are what's getting him in trouble. If he could cut that walk rate by just, you know, 20%, 30%, then all of a sudden we'd be looking at an elite-level prospect rather than just a very good one.
Mm-hmm.
24 strikeouts in 25 innings. I mean, he's in good shape. For a lot of these young guys, and this seems to be a problem with not just the young Braves, but also the Braves in general in the organization right now. Walks are a problem.
Mm.
We're not drawing them as batters, and we're giving too many up as pitchers.
I think it comes to the territory of going after higher ceiling pitchers. Right. The way we've done, and which was something we needed to do. Chris Ellis, the other guy that came over in the Simmons trade, is having a pretty good, having an all right start to his season,
too. I
think
he had a pretty daggum good start the other day, too.
So,
29 innings, 1.84 ERA. Peripherals look good on that. Not striking out a lot, just under 7, but he's not walking a lot. He's walking 3/9, not terribly bad. Just a good, solid all around season. He's 3-0 in 5 starts.
Go ahead and throw Brandon Barker out there, another Mississippi starter, who in 23 innings so far this year has a 0.78 ERA.
Nice.
7.4 strikeouts per nine, 2 walks per nine. He's looking good. He's another guy who was a sort of a fringe prospect. But
yeah, what was weird is he's in Double A right now, and he jumped from High A to Triple A last year for the Braves, and then dropped back down to Double A to start this season. And he's getting it did.
We'll check in with the hardest throwing pitcher in the minor leagues, Mauricio Cabrera,
who
has thrown
still does not know where the ball is going.
Has thrown 11 1/3 innings this year. He's walked 8 batters and struck out 12. That's about right.
Yeah, so it's actually down from what I expected.
Since he's gotten his walks under control.
Yeah, he's down to 6.5 a game now. Rob Whalen is 25 innings, 4.26 ERA. He had a good year last year. Not doing as hot this year, but again, his walks. It's 4.97 walks per 9 innings.
Where are his strikeouts at?
8.17.
Yeah, needs to be. I typically look for a ratio there where if you're not going to – if you walk a lot of batters, then you need to strike out a lot of batters. And I look for about 2.5 times. I look for about 2.5 strikeouts per walk is what I – minimum 2, really, is what I want to see. But 2.5 to 3 would be great. And, if you're striking out, if you're walking 4.9, then you need to be striking out 10.
Yeah, and he's done.
Braxton Davidson is a prospect whose name we know. It's been a rough go of it at Carolina for him this year. He is batting 183. 250 on base and a 293 slugging.
I would imagine his strikeout rate, I've not looked. I'm going to tell you it's probably at around 28%.
It is over 33. He's struck out 31 times in 92 plate appearances.
That is a huge, huge issue for him. And it was something that was concerning in each of the last couple of years. And it's something that also concerns me about Austin Riley, the prospect that we got out of the draft last year. It's okay to strike out a lot if you're getting the power. They're not hitting for power, so that's not offsetting the strikeouts. Plus, they're striking out that often at a level where pitchers can't throw strikes. That's something that's a concern.
Yeah, no, when you strike out that much in the minor leagues, it's a problem. Adam Dunn did not strike out that much in the minor league at that level.
Right. I still think there's plenty of time for them to work on it, too, and that'll get better as they develop a better eye and whatnot. But it's a concerning issue. I mean, the strikeout rates over each stop for Davidson, 22%, that's acceptable. 22.9, that's workable. And then 27.3, as he starts facing better pitchers, he starts getting worse and worse. Strikeout rates, 27.3, that's not good. 33.7, not good. I actually think that 33.7 is down from 38 earlier in the year. I mean, he was striking out every time up to the plate, it seemed like.
One guy at High A Carolina who has been very impressive so far is pitcher Max Povse, P-O-V-S-E.
Right, we talked about him in the preview.
Yeah, he's had four starts. He's pitched about 27 innings. He has a 1.69 ERA, a 2.63 FIP, 0.71 WHIP, 7.8 strikeouts per nine innings, to only 1.4 walks per nine innings. It's good control on his part, and he's limiting hits. He's getting a lot of ground balls. 65% ground ball rate is way up there.
That is.
It's an encouraging start for that prospect. So, you know, if you're going to see a Carolina game, go see Max Poots.
I think pitch. Rome is probably, our low A affiliate, mm-hmm. is probably some exciting stuff happening in Rome right now, too. That's where a lot of our, you know, Mississippi has our first tier of prospects right now, because mm-hmm. most of the Gwinnett ones are coming up right now. Mississippi has the second, you know, the first tier below. But the second tier prospects, the ones that will be here in 8 years, you know, Jonathan Morales and Lucas Herbert, Luke Dykstra, Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna, Mike Soroka, Tuki Toussaint, Max Fried, Ricardo Sanchez, Chad Sabatka. You know, there's some very good young players that if you get a chance to go check out the Rome Braves, anytime they're near you, do so.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go player by player through Rome. Just go see the Rome Braves.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good talent on that team. So, So, you know, mostly encouraging things from the prospects so far this year, which is...
Just hitting on Austin Riley with Rome real quick. 92 plate appearances this year. 244 average, 272 on base percentage. 4.3 walk percent, which is down from 10.7 in his short season. 32.6% K percent, which is up from 21.4. Yeah. ISO's down. Just hasn't adjusted to the better pitchers yet.
Right. Rookie ball also is just really bad pitchers.
Right.
A lot of times. So, okay. Well, let me look and see. Oh, the week ahead. What do we got? What do we got this week?
I predict a walk and a loss. Folty's pitching tonight, so I feel good about my walk.
I thought you were going to predict the Braves took one walk this week. Like, the Braves will draw a walk this week.
Depends on who's...
One day.
I think it could happen.
All right, so we got the Mets. Three against the Mets. We're playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Citi Field.
Yay, us.
Do you have projected starters? Because the schedule I'm looking at does not.
I do not, because...
Well, Folty's tonight... Wait, I know where they are. They're right here. Okay. Bartolo Colon against Mike Foltynewicz.
Yay, us.
Tomorrow is Matt Harvey against Matt Whistler. Wednesday, Steven Matz against Ulysse Chassin.
So run those three Mets starters by me again.
Well, it's Bartolo Colon, so we've got a chance right there. Win tonight, boys. Win tonight.
Yeah. It's getting worse after that.
And then Matt Harvey and Steven Matz. Thursday is an off day. And then the weekend series is Aaron Blair against Zach Greinke. And that is here in Atlanta. Zach Greinke.
When we were doing the pre-show agenda to figure out what we were going to talk about, one of the things I listed on there I think is going to come into play this week. What bourbon do you drink when watching the Braves? Zach Greinke against Aaron. That could actually be a good matchup.
Honestly, you should be this season. You should be drinking nothing but cheap stuff and let all the good stuff age. Aaron Blair and Zach Greinke. Hey, that's a good matchup. Friday night's a good game. Saturday's a good game. Those are the two games that you'd want to go to against Arizona this weekend. Plus, Arizona's apparently has awful uniforms. I haven't gotten a chance to really watch them yet.
Maybe Coppy can take Dave Stewart to lunch again.
Ooh, yeah, anytime Dave Stewart's in town, you should get excited. Julio Teheran against Shelby Miller on May 7th. That is Saturday.
The Battle of the Aces.
Mm-hmm. Sunday is Folty and Patrick Corbin matching up there. So, you know, I don't know. Braves could go 3-3. Maybe.
Yeah, it's possible.
Two and four. I'll be okay with 2-4 in this 6-game set because the Mets and Diamondbacks are probably good teams. You know, Friday, the Grinky Blair game is also Girls Night Out at Turner Field.
Woohoo!
Girls Night Out. Girls get an outfield ticket, a sweatshirt blanket. What is that? The hell's a sweatshirt blanket?
Is that one of those Snuggies?
Is it a sweatshirt or is it a blanket?
It's a Snuggie.
I don't know. You'll have to ask a girl who attends Girls Night Out to find out what it is. You also get a feather boa and $5 goes to cancer research. $5 out of your ticket. Saturday is also a promotion. It's Teacher Appreciation Night. So... we won't actually do anything for the teachers. We'll just give them a hand. And Sunday is Mother's Day at the Braves game. So all moms and their kids, ages 14 and under, are invited to go on the field and run the bases. So, yeah, I'm sure that'll be thrilling. All right.
We're stretching.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the Braves better load up on promotions this year. Lots of promotions. That's what this season needs to be. Ooh. Oh, May 28th. I can't imagine a better promotion than Water Safety Day. That is a real thing. And wait. Featuring special guest Denny Nagel. Oh, obviously, when you talk about water safety, you got to have Denny Nagel. Okay. All right. This season has just gotten sadder. Just by looking at the promotions on deck for this team. Although, in all seriousness, it may be made up on May 29th with a Chris Stapleton concert post-game, because that could be pretty awesome. But yeah. Of course, everybody will just be drained from the excitement of Water Safety Day, though, at that point. It is against the Marlins, so it makes sense to have Water Appreciation.
Here's a question.
Water Safety Day against the Marlins.
They're bringing Denny Nagel back for Water Safety Day, which I guess that means he's not playing for the team, he's just making an appearance, but... Now, none of this was as a Brave, I don't believe, but, you know, he has been very friendly with a lady of the evening in the past. He's had his DUI. He was mentioned in the Mitchell report.
I know you're not even looking at his Wikipedia page, but you were hitting, it is just bam, 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 in order.
I remember the, I am looking at it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's okay. Why I'm hitting it in order. Okay. As much as I would like everyone to think that I'm the brain, I was actually looking at his page. But, yeah, because I remember he had some kind of a couple of incidents where he just kind of fell out of the limelight for a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, who knows? At least maybe the Water Safety Day is part of his community service for some of that stuff. Oh, the Braves. I love my Braves, but, man, this is going to be a long season.
On Thursday, the 26th of May, we have... In more randomly selected pairings, it's Jewish Heritage Night, where you get a Chipper Jones jersey. It's just,
have they not seen his Twitter timeline?
It is just randomly. Well, let's see. On the 12th, we have a cornhole tournament, but there's no randomly selected prize to go with that. Oh man, we got to make this a more regular part of the show. Is talking about all these
upcoming promotions,
really strange promotions.
And this is just for the Braves.
Yeah. I feel like we have to be the strangest because we just said no other
reason. We have
to
get people in.
We got to get people to come in.
I just want, what concerns me, though, is, again, getting back to the thought processes behind it. Water Safety Day. Is that something that we really were going to consider as bringing? That's almost as bad as calling up Emilio Bonifacio to be a bench bat.
On the same day as Water Safety Day, they're giving away... the Chipper rescuing Freddy on his ATV bobblehead. Do you remember the story of Freddy getting stuck in the ice storm?
It was frozen water, right?
Yeah, Freddy got stuck on I-85 or wherever a few years ago, and Chipper drove his four-wheeler down and picked him up. So they're giving away a bobblehead commemorating that, which is kind of awesome that they made that into a bobblehead.
That is.
That's good. It's such a strange story. But they're giving it away on Water Safety Day with
Denny Nagel.
Denny Nagel autographs session to show appreciation for lifeguards and community pool supervisors. So It's just, you know, there's obviously nothing wrong with water safety. It's just an odd press release to look at. Join us. Join the Braves and Denny Nagel as we give away a four-wheeler bobblehead and celebrate water safety. It's like if you had three wheels with components of prize, special guest,
and you just spun them.
Thing to appreciate.
And what's up next, Maury?
Spun all three and just see, okay, for the Brewers, this. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I'm interested to see how these decisions were made. But anyway, that's our show. And thanks for listening. Follow us on Outfield Fly Rule on the Facebooks. And that's both a page and a group. And also...
we have one of those Twitter things, too.
Yeah.
OFR Sports.
And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcasting application of your choice. And I guess that does it. Thanks for listening, and go Braves.
Have a good day. We can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance, everybody's taking the chance.